Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey, the countdown is on. You'll be transitioning into another aspect of daily routines.
That's right, yep. Like my year don't end, we go right into the Fresh Start program, working with the youth again. So it's okay. It go from one thing to the next. So that's, and then coaching. So, you know, just working out this summer and being in and trying to run some businesses and grinding it out. But
it's good, man.
Yeah, it's serious business in our community. It's a lot going on that I just feel like it's a lot of trauma. You know, it's a lot of trauma backed up.
Oh, it is, man. Yeah. Before we get into our show, I'm going to share a quick story with you. I had a breakfast with one of the old-time friend of mine, and he had been a principal at a number of school districts around the state of Michigan. And he told me, you know, he retired a couple years back. And he said, well, the incident that caused him to retire was that when he had to call 911 on a kindergartner, he knew it was time to retire.
911 on a kindergartner?
On a kindergartner, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's time to retire when you have to call 911 on the kindergarten.
It didn't change to the point where, you know, a kindergartner comes to school with a knife and, you know, actually willing to handle it.
Knew how to handle it.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. He had to get out. But, but you keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah,
you're doing a good job.
We got a great team. We got a good team of people and just administration that we work with. But it's something when you sign up for what we're doing, it's not easy because we see all the pushback and the pain. That's what we see.
Right.
We're in the capacity that we work with, and it's a lot of agencies that's trying to help. You know, Health West and other companies and people trying to do certain things, and they're starting to see that. Somebody said something real good. I went to a meeting the other day at the Muskegon Heights County Building, and Cedric Scott. I think he's one of our only clinical psychologists in this area that's specialized with kids. If I'm getting it right. He talked about being traumatized.
Okay.
And the kids not being able to sustain in their environment. And if we don't treat this as a renaissance zone and we revive our economy here, we're going to see more issues and problems out of our youth.
I think that's a profound statement, man.
Yeah, we're going to see it. And just, I was listening to a sermon the other night and by this pastor, and he was saying that the problem is that, and it's a famous song out by Future. He called it The Mask Off. And he was saying that he didn't reference the song because it was an old sermon I was listening to the other night. And he said, what's wrong with the certain communities is the kids are suffering from depression and it's all this stuff going on, but the adults are walking around with masks on. And he said, what's the name of the store? Party City. That's what he said. Party City is going out of business because too many Christians are wearing masks and pretending that they don't have no issues and no pain and they ain't going through nothing.
Interesting.
I was like, wow, Party City is going out of business because everybody wearing a mask. He said, and he gave a reference. It was a pastor. He gave a reference. He said, they asked him, he said, you see somebody, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. I'm blessed. Highly favored.
Highly favored. So they had that fake smile on.
Uh-huh.
And it's just almost like cliche or just like they already got it set up to say a certain thing.
Right.
And they don't want you to, they in disguise. So then if you fall and you do something wrong, the finger's pointed at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's not fair in the way of the world and looking at our people, because if we're truly believers, we should be helping. Like you said, you're giving me a pat on the back for working with our youth and our community. But like you said, it's something you got to sign up for and have your baseball equipment on, ready to run them bases. Not swing. You got to be ready to run them bases and really put in the work, because once you put in 24 hours, a new one comes.
Yeah, and money is not the motivator.
Man, money is not the motivator.
Okay, we know that. Just like in coaching.
Yeah.
At this level, money is not the motivator.
No, it is not the motivator. I hear my wife many days. She's like, you like doing this stuff?
Right.
You like, this is what you like to do?
Because you're not getting paid.
Yeah, she's like, you could do bigger and better things. I was like, well, I don't know. The influence is a lot different. To the day where somebody probably get me to where I'd be like, well, I done seen the light and it's over. I haven't had that moment yet. I just always look at it. I don't look at how people treat me. I look at how I treat people.
And you know, there is no finish line. Okay, the work is never completed. It's because there's always, you know, a new generation coming behind them.
That's right.
There is no point in time where you can say, okay, I'm done. You know, because you haven't crossed the finish line.
They keep on coming. So we got to just keep on figuring it out. It's just what I've noticed is the community has got to work a lot better. They got to work together. And speaking of our show, the economics, just putting right. those economics together.
It's about economics because anything that happens in life, when you boil it down, it's about economics. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Crime, success, whatever that issue is, if you really peel back the layers on that onion, when you get to the core of it, it's still about economics.
Still about economics. And sticking to economics, we got somebody that's to know how to get in the media and the sports media, or they just everywhere. Like, if you didn't know who LeVar Ball was a year ago.
6 months.
6 months ago.
6 months ago.
6 months ago. At first, the first story I seen on him was with Chino Hills, with the high school coach.
Right.
He's like, where's Chino Hills at? Right. They wouldn't even be no Chino Hills if I ain't send my sons to that school.
Ball brothers, right.
Yeah, he say, don't tell me how to coach. See, I'm letting you borrow my sons.
Yeah.
So, like, he went off on that coach. I was like,
he quit.
The coach did, yeah.
Well, it was either he resigned or he quit, one of the two, but.
He couldn't take it. He said, I can't.
Yeah, it's like three coaches in 3 years has been at that school.
He said, I can't deal with this helicopter parent.
Right.
Why are you not coaching them? Why are you not coaching the team, LeVar?
Time.
Hey, too much time. He could be a critic, but he don't want to be able to step behind that bench.
Right. Okay. Now you got the bullseye.
Yeah, you got
you.
It. Ooh, it's hard,
okay.
too.
Okay. He's chasing that paper right now.
That's right. He got it in play. And the recent deal that he turned down, because I know that's, you know, Nike, Under Armour, and who else? Adidas.
Adidas, yeah, the big three.
They $100 million deal he turned down, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. For his son, be an endorsement of their products. But then what about what his brand is? What is his brand?
Big Baller Brand.
Okay. Well, if his son go that route, what does that do to his brand?
It makes it good. It makes his brand blow up. But he depends. Do he have $100 million? Or is there $100 million of clientele out there that's willing to sacrifice and say.
In his future.
What will I leave Nike and Jordan to wear Baller Brand?
I think the answer is no.
Right.
Because that's a like we were talking earlier, that's a roll of the dice.
That's a culture shift.
Yes, it is.
Like, look at Under Armour to this day. Stephen Curry is a two-time MVP, and still his shoe don't sell.
Okay. It's you got to be in the right place, man. The Nike guys, Under Armour guys, they get the marketing. Okay? They get that part of the business.
That's their job.
That's their job.
All you got to do is work out, show up, and smile.
They handle the rest, man. I mean, you know, the Oregon Ducks, you know, is an example. Okay, before then, schools had two types of uniforms, home and away.
Now they got like six. Basketball team, football team, but that then Phillip Nike is the owner.
He's the owner, okay.
And it was a track shoe in 81. And then back in 79 when he tried to launch it, he offered Magic Johnson some stock.
Okay.
And Magic was like, nah, I'm straight. I don't even know what that
track,
is.
Man, I'm on no track. I'm
with some Converse on, man. Right. Come on. Everybody wear Converse.
Yeah.
Then I know Michael Jordan, with him, when Adidas came at him, Michael Jordan wanted Adidas because North Carolina wore Adidas.
Okay.
They was rocking the top 10s, the white with the baby blue on them.
Okay.
Michael Jordan wanted Adidas. So when Adidas was like, nah, we don't give you, I think it was like nothing, really like $100,000 or something. Like that. We're not going to give you those signature shoes. We'll just pay you to wear our shoe. He was like, all right, that's all?
That's it.
So he was hurt. So Phillip was like, look, we're a track team. We're a track shoe.
Right.
We'll make you a shoe, and you the man.
You the logo.
You the logo. What you want?
Okay.
We got this basketball, this world with the wings on it.
Right. And as they say, the rest is history.
The rest is history. But the marketing was there.
The marketing, man.
And his career elevated. Now, I'm not saying Ball can't do it, but look at LeBron. He took $90 million, and he's producing, but he also has a team of friends, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He had a great team of high school friends that he put through college, and they marketing major, some of them, mm-hmm. and they help him with the companies that also collaborate with LeBron. So they're his point people. When the company wants to do something, he's like, no, we're going to do it this way. And I look at it with LeVar Ball. I want him to be successful with his brand. But what technology is behind the brand?
Right. What does his team consist of?
Yeah, and then what's in the shoe? Like, what's the gimmick inside the shoe? Like, what's the technology? Do you have the Reebok? Remember the Reebok pump? Mm-hmm. Remember then the Nike Reebok Hexalite? The like beehives you could put in the bottom of the shoe. Okay. Converse, they had some technology. Nike got the air cushion. Avia had the sole. You know, everybody has something.
Yeah.
So, like, Nike got Zoom and all this, and now they got the shoes that fold, and, you know, the grip is flex grip, or, you know. What is the LeVar Ball offering for the $500? Everybody saying support him. Like, I know Chad Johnson brought a pair of shoes. The Game brought a pair of shoes. And I'm looking like, okay. And then when Shaq came, he said, man, them shoes cost too much. You can't do that, brother. He say, oh, what are you talking about? He say, my shoes say baller. If you ain't a baller, you ain't got no business wearing them. Okay. My shoe is between Gucci and the low end sneaker. Okay. So he said, I'm not Gucci and I'm not Jordan, so I'm right between those two.
Okay.
I'm not as cheap as a Jordan. I'm like, what? And I'm not superior as a Gucci. So I'm there. But if you a baller, you need to wear my shoes.
Well, let's look at that segment of the population that would consider themselves ballers, that have the the income, disposable income, to be able to purchase the shoe. All right, we're talking about, for the most part, high school, college students. I don't think he's going to attract very many professional players to speak of. Okay, so he's targeted a very small market. If he said that. You know, if you're a baller, you got to be able to afford this shoe.
Now, who would spend some money on that on a common man? Somebody that's a hustler?
Yeah.
That's a street hustler or something?
Okay. That has disposable income.
I can throw it, because I can't see myself coming home like, baby, I bought these $500 LeVar balls.
Yeah, what you going to do with them?
And the $500 shoes. She's like, do you got a job that you can make $500,000?
Yeah. You a baller now? You a big baller now? Huh? So Come on, talk to me. You go to the gym, play pickup. Nobody getting paid
to wear them shoes. So it's like driving me crazy. Like, and then he told Shaq, he say, "Your son don't even wear your brand. It don't matter." Shaq was like, "It don't matter. I'm making my shoe affordable for certain kids."
That's right. You got to look at who the audience is, man. Okay, and for years a lot of folks felt like. The Jordans were overpriced for the segment of the market that they were trying to attract.
Now they're not saying nothing. I seen some the other day. I seen a guy posting some shoes the other day, some Jordans. They were $399 for the old, like, the first ones he played in, the ones he won his first championship in. They just changed the colorway on them. I was like, $399?
Wow.
$399, man? That was rough. That's tough for me to swallow.
Yes, it is.
$399 is tough for me to swallow. I'm like, for a pair of sneakers, those were some breaks.
Yeah, okay.
I can get brakes on my truck.
All the way around.
For $400.
And I'm just walking in them now. My playing days has been over.
Yeah.
I don't need to be stopping and profiling.
The most I would pay right now, the most, audience, the most, I got a pair of Jordans at home I bought. They like some mix, some Spud Webb, or not some, I don't even know the people's names. Spike Lee's.
Spike Lee's.
They not even real. They like mix of Jordan. They bring a...
knockoffs.
No, they not knockoffs, but they take about three or four Jordans, and they make one Jordan out of it, and they call it the Mars Jordan. So I got a pair of those. Okay. Then I got some Jordan brand stuff I work out in. But then I spent $100 on them?
Okay.
And I only wore them twice.
Right. $100.
They ain't sitting right at home.
That'd be the max, man.
Yeah, that's the max.
No more.
That's the max. And I don't even wear them. I'm just like, I don't even feel right in them.
Now, when you're trying to be financially astute and sound, it's kind of hard to justify that expense, man.
So I just like, I can't even. They sitting there brand new. Somebody, I'm going to end up giving them to some little kid or something one day. Like, hey, man, you can have these.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see in a year from now where they're at with this product, the big baller. It's going to be interesting.
If you see them in TJ Maxx, or
okay,
what's that? Not AJ Wright. AJ Wright in Detroit, old school. AJ Wright, why that name come out? It's another store. TJ Maxx, Ross's. Ross, they have them in Florida.
Walmart.
If you see the bet,
you know what's up here.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking. I'm not saying, oh, you don't support your own. I'm gonna buy me some shorts and a t-shirt. I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
I can't afford the flip flops. $220.
Right. For flip flops.
I can't do that. They not. And I don't wear Gucci, so I don't know. I don't have no big belt buckles with names on them, so I don't do that. So I can't. It can't fit into the culture, no way. But it would probably just some shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I can spend $20 on a shirt, t-shirt, $20 on some shorts, and have some walk around and say I'm balling.
Big baller now.
I'm a big baller now.
Well, Mulberry Tolan. This is a dog industry that you're about to get into. Okay, only the strong survive.
Man.
And we know Mulberry knows. Okay.
That's why they kicked him out of the NBA, because he was strong.
Yeah.
He was coming at people like, my shoes made in the same factory as Jordan. And he had the video to show it. They was like, it is.
You can't compete against those big guys.
So they got rid of him. They're like, get him out of the NBA.
Yep.
He'll change the game. He'll have every player coming in trying to be like LeVar Ball.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You can't do it, man. It's a closed society.
But, I mean, how much money you need?
That's a very good question.
If you give me $100 million, who to say I don't just got, okay, $100 million saying that, is that all apparel or is it just sneakers?
The $100 million is basically for you to sign up with us, and we'll determine how we want to use you as a brand for us.
So then,
so
okay.
It could be apparel.
A plethora of things.
Yeah, it could be.
Could it be apparel, shoes, hats, clothes?
The niche. Where do we want to fit this kid in at with his skill level?
But then, you know, when you sign those contracts, I had a friend sign a deal like that. He wasn't no major player, but he was like, you know, just a guy that's made it to the show.
Okay.
Like in the field, right? He just made it to the show. And he signed, I think, a Reebok or somebody. They gave him, he was able to get access to the Iverson line. He had access to everything. The jogging suits. They was sending him stuff.
Okay.
He had access to everybody's line. And they was just like, okay, what you want? We're like, all right, you're picking the catalog. All right, send me this. He was just wear their stuff. As long as you wear our stuff, you can wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
He had questions on the Iversons. He had some other stuff on. So Reebok gave him a deal. And it wasn't a lot of money. It was like, you know, $100,000, something like that. But he was able to get gear. They gave him cash. And all they wanted him to do, wear Reebok to practice, wear it in the game, wear it everywhere. And it was a small contract, but it was worth it.
It was marketing.
They said, I'm going to wear some shoes anyway. I might as well. They gave me the money.
He had a certain segment of the population that followed him, that knew about his history, that watched his gear, watched his swag, and say, okay, I want to be like him, so I got to wear the Reebok.
I don't know what, okay. I don't like, you know, I'm married. I'm like, what do you tell your wife before we go into transition off back into the gun? What do you tell your wife? Like, yeah, baby, trust me, this $100 million, I'm going to make it happen. And you have no experience, no background, no team that has proven themselves to do better than $100 million.
He has convinced her, I guess, man, because
she love him.
She have to.
My wife will leave me.
I hope man would too.
She out of there. She like, come on, you ain't have to do nothing. Our son is 19 years old. He got $100 million. We not going to work no more.
Nope. That's just the first son.
Yeah, no, we not going to work no more. Now, let's say that $100 million, you learn the business off your first kid. Then you be like, all right, Nike, thank you. These next two, we're going to do on our own.
That's right.
Now we got a ball to bring.
Yeah. Or, thinking about it this way, I'm going to come on board with Nike and say, okay, Nike, I want this ball of brand. I want you to see if you can go ahead and refine this.
Manipulate it.
Part of your line. Give me a certain amount of the royalties off it.
Like Jordan.
Yeah, just like Jordan. To make sure that I get this thing right. Okay? Because y'all the best at it. There's nobody better. Okay, I'm going to come on board, but there's some things, I got some skin in the game. I want you to take my line and bring it on board with Nike and redesign it, retrofit it, re-engineer it, whatever you have to do to make my line a competitive line.
I mean,
share with me the money, man.
And the powerful thing about it, like, I know one of our one of our radio personalities was in here helping us set our equipment up today, and he said, yeah, you remember those Dennis Rodmans? And they were called Air Dowards. And they felt like boots. They was shoes you could hoop outside in.
And that's where you used to hoop.
Yep. Then Tim Hardaway had the Air Attacks with the cross strap on them. Mm-hmm. So it was you could see a shoe and you name that player's name in it. And then it was one player named by the Penny Hardaway. His shoes still selling to this day.
Yeah.
And he blew his legs out.
And who's behind all this?
Nike. So then they got the money to release the product, and he still get paid.
Right.
Because he got a royalty check coming. He's like, wow, they sold that many shoes? He's not looking at it from that standpoint.
He's got to be that guy. Yep. He got to be the spokesman. He got to be the face of the Ballers brand.
He looking at the hustle.
You're getting it all wrong, baby.
He looking at the hustle up and early, and that's what he looking at. And when you look at the hustle, you get a hustler's mentality.
Right. It's about that team, you know, those folks that you surround yourself with that will help you be successful. You cannot do it by yourself.
You're right, and it's kind of got me like, man, what do we do? Because I know a lot of people behind him, but how long are they gonna be behind you? Well, they only can buy one pair. They can only buy one pair of shoes.
You can only wear one at a time.
And then when you buy one pair of shoes, what's the overhead? Like, your shoes, like Chad Johnson ordered a pair, so your shoes will be in 2 to 3 weeks. So they going to go and make them for them. Let's put these shoes together.
Yeah, they ordered shoes. They're not on the shelf, so.
They're not on the shelf, so they back ordered. So they're trying to see how many orders they can get. So then, because I ain't seen nobody with a pair on yet. Have you?
No, nor have not. Nope, have not. So I don't know what the
Nobody has posted a picture with them on. And I'm not knocking him at all, but it's just something I've been thinking about. Like,
when you understand business and commerce.
Yeah, I want that passive income. I'm hooping. I got my NBA check that I'm earning every week, that I'm earning every month. I'm getting my two paychecks a month, playoff money, all that, my other sponsor deals.
All this investments.
Yeah, let me get this check just coming in. Let me just get this check coming in so I can be like, all right, mama and daddy, there y'all go. Mm-hmm. When the taxes hit this check, I'm finna give y'all half of this check. Y'all good.
Right.
Now I want to get my money. Y'all got $20 million. Daddy, do whatever you want. Go crazy, daddy.
Straight.
But I'm over here.
Yep.
I'm good now. So that's just that segment, audience. I know that took a long time. I didn't know we were talking about him that long.
Really?
Yep. But I know the next thing is insurance, man. It's crazy. I seen an article the other day, Tony, where the mayor of Detroit was angry about the no-fault insurance in Michigan being the highest. I'm like, hold up, this is not New York. It's not California. This is not Texas.
Nope.
This is Michigan. So what's the deal? I know we talked about this in the past, but Detroit, they're trying to get laws passed and everything at the state level. How effective are they going to be?
It's going to be difficult because somebody has to underwrite this insurance, whatever he's trying to design. You know, can the city of Detroit, who just recently, you know, come out of bankruptcy, afford to underwrite automobile insurance for the people that live in that city? That's a stretch, and there's still that segment of fraud that's going on with these accidents. I mean, just recently,
chop shops, all that's still going on. So it's like, you guys gonna overlook all that and get somebody some good insurance?
It's not gonna happen, man. Look here,
that'd be a scandal.
State Farm, all right, largest insurance company in America, just reported that they lost $7 billion in underwriting losses. Okay? $7 billion.
So they lost, they didn't profit? What do you like?
No. They lost $7 billion. They are in a major reorganization effort right now because as any company go, you got a board of directors, you got shareholders, stakeholders, and they're saying, wait a minute, you mean our company lost $7 billion? Do the math on it, man. That's like, you know, almost not quite $1 billion a month, but it's pretty close, okay? So they're in the process now. They just laid off a whole bunch of people. They're shutting down a number of offices because this insurance thing in America is getting out of hand.
Man, that's crazy, man.
And it's all tied to automobile insurance.
$7 billion.
$7 billion. Yeah, they're closing up Kalamazoo, Michigan, California, Oklahoma, Florida, Indianapolis, Illinois, Lafayette, Indiana. They're shutting these facilities down, man.
Insurance agencies.
Yeah.
What that do with somebody like yourself?
Oh, I'm with farmers. So when they shut it down, what they're basically doing is they're going to raise their rates, okay? Rates are going to go up because they're doing some of the right stuff. But in order to really affect that $7 billion.
So you gonna raise my rate and I stay with you?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm out of there.
You shopping.
I'm calling Farmers Bureau.
Farmers, man.
I'm calling okay. farmers. I'm calling farmers, Tony. I'm
and it's just
you.
It's a phenomenon in industry that, you know, at certain times, every company takes rate. It's what we call take rate. Basically, increase your insurance.
Yeah, everybody take a hike. Yep, yeah, they take a rate. I call yeah, it take a. That's where that phrase else. Take a hike come from.
Take a hike.
Take a hike. We should take a rate hike.
And it's all about strategic timing. When you take yours versus the other guy. So if you get out in front of it, you've already took your rate hike. So when they knock jump theirs up, people leave and they come to you.
Yes.
And it's only a matter of time before the same thing is going to happen in our company. We'll take rate and it'll affect certain people adversely and they will leave and they'll go shopping. That's just part of the industry. But, you know, we need to get a handle on this insurance in Michigan for sure. It is horrible in the city of Detroit, man.
Because it's like you pay more insurance for the actual vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm just lucky because I work as an educator and my insurance is a lot cheaper with my credit score and everything. And I'm like, I look at it like for some people, it's crazy.
Charles, I get at least 5 to 6 calls a week where people say, I just bought this car and I need insurance. Okay. I had one lady call. It's a
take it back.
Dodge.
Charger.
It's a Charger, but it got a name, Hellcat.
Oh, Lord.
Hellcat. Okay.
Oh, somebody bought a Hellcat?
Hellcat.
That's $60,000.
And the insurance was more than the car note.
Man, it's got to be, I know that's at least $50,000 car, brand new.
And the industry says, okay, first of all, and she had tickets already.
Oh, she hit. Tickets.
So they look at this Hellcat, and they say, okay, we know whoever drives this car at some point in time want to find out what they got. So they're gonna drive this car at excessive speeds, and if they were to have an accident, the outcome of that accident is gonna be horrendous.
Because it's fast.
We're probably gonna blow this car up. We're probably gonna kill everybody that's in the car. Not to say who we're gonna hurt if there's another car we have an accident with. So they said, you know, we're probably looking at exposure of $400,000-$500,000 minimum on this car and this driver. And they just price it like to the point where they say, we don't want that business. Okay? We don't want you in a Hellcat with your driver record.
But then when they can shell the cash out, they be like, well, they pull that money out.
Okay.
So and you do get people like that, don't you? Like, I got it.
Yeah.
How much I need down, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
How much I need down, Tony?
Yeah.
I got it.
They come in there like that.
You got $2,400 every 6 months. I got that. Let's go. I'm going to pay the 6 months.
Red flag.
They riding though.
They ain't working every day.
Nah, they. I got in my mama name, man. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good, man. My mama, I gotta bring my grandma down here. Granny, you gonna drive a Hellcat?
Happens all the time.
I drive a Hellcat. I drive the Hellcat to Bingo.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Elks. Not the Elks. Elks ain't even open no more. I'll be
in Grand Rapids.
I'll be in the Elks and Grand Rapids in my Hellcat, and I go get my medication.
Yeah, you're going to hit 96, Jack, and
you're
going to stretch it out.
In the orange Hellcat, I'm 70-something.
Zip it. So, yeah, this thing is not getting any better. So they need somebody to step in here from a legislative standpoint and give consumers a relief because it is going to get ugly, especially when the number one insurance company in America gets in trouble. That's huge because it's probably 1 out of 5 people are insured by State Farm. That's a lot of folks, man.
So. Oh, that's amazing, man. That is how they put it. It's a lot going on, but in the same capacity, it's things is going on that's good too, and just the movement of the financial bubble, and everybody talking about this 2018 thing is coming.
Okay.
Like the bubble getting ready to bust. Like I seen something. Like our company with the student loans, like Fannie Mae stepped in, and they're getting ready. They're changing the way they're reporting the credit for medical bills and student loans with a debt to income ratio.
Okay.
They're reconfiguring everything. So you're looking at the battle of the insurance, you're looking at this. Why are they trying to reconfigure everything to get these people in the houses and to get them in the mortgages? Because they know that they got to go back to that standard of that property, that land, get these people land so you can have more investors, so you can have interest rates going and stock market thriving.
Yeah, and you know, I think the other piece to this bubble thing.
That's right.
Is politics.
Somebody got to get paid.
You know, as Marvin Gaye said, politics blowing in the wind. Okay, so in a, we're in a global environment, right?
Yes, sir.
Global environment. Everything that, that happens in this world can affect other parts of the world. So you got
the global economy.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
So you know, so we beefing with the was the North Koreans. We're
That's
beefing
right.
with them. Beefing with the Russians. Partially beefing with the Canadians.
And what products do they got in our country? What exports do they have here? That's how you got to look at that.
Not many.
I remember hearing a story some years back where Russia owned a lot of highways in our country.
Man, Russia owns a lot of stuff. China owns a lot of stuff.
I know China brought a lot of our trash too, and they own a lot of stuff, and we got a debt to them.
Yeah, and they're still looking to invest more. They want to invest more, man.
They own our country. We riding around here. They own it.
They like our treasury notes. Get that buy the American notes, man. Sit on them. Interest rate goes up. They cash them in. They get more money out of this country.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, right now everything's looking good from a standpoint where, you know, like when you look at the price of gas,
okay,
relatively inexpensive.
Okay? Yes.
The economy, this economy, unfortunately, thrives on low gas.
It's got, and I was looking at, I was at the gas station this morning, and it was like $2.45.
Just jumped. It was at $2.02 yesterday.
But then it's right with diesel. I've never seen diesel and regular gas ever been
so
together.
So close.
Yeah. I remember times when gas was high, diesel was cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Then diesel became way more expensive.
Flip flop.
It was like four something. Then the regular gas was $2. So it's like, now they're the same.
Supply and demand.
So it's like, that's the battle of, like you say, all this wage and then possible war threats and all this and all that. It's affecting our economy. And it's just all somebody saying, I'm going to get you.
Okay.
It's going to affect the price.
Yeah, yeah. So
a threat can affect the price.
Yes, it can. Yep. Versus, you know.
Volatility. In the market.
Volatility, man.
Wow.
Yes, it is. So, I'm not going to discount the fact about 2019 or potentially 18 being a year where there's a correction in the market. But I truly believe that at the pace we're going, there are going to be some world events that definitely have an adverse negative effect on our economy.
I see it coming, too. For the audience, just putting their money in the nest eggs and making sure you make right moves. And like you saying, don't go out and buy no Hellcat.
No.
Don't leave that alone. No. And I was talking to a guy the other day. I find myself always around people that's like yourself, around investors and things and trying to show me things. And he said, why would you buy a car with a $500 car note?
And you making what?
And you're not making $5. You're making an hourly wage. And you're just barely making $20 an hour. And you about to get a loan that's got 68 months on it. You about to get a 68-month loan for $500. And when you know you could be like, well, I can buy this car that's 3 or 4 years old.
Yep.
And I can own it outright in 3 years. And then that $500 I was paying, I can save it.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? That's what I said to myself. Like, I'm not buying nothing else. I told my wife, I'm like, nope. I'm riding. It break, yeah, I fix it. I don't have to be like I'm the big man on campus.
Oh, no. I like that debt-free ride.
That's right. I do, too.
Real good.
Coast good. I'm only got to get around A to B right now anyway, and if I got to go on the highway, I'll rent somewhere. I'd rather other car.
Yep. That's it.
That's it, man.
Break down, they pay for it.
That's it. So, and then my insurance is cheap. I pay $150 a month for two cars. So
good rate.
Man, I'm all right.
Good driving record.
And they ain't tow up, so that's a good driving record and good credit. Police always get behind me, too. I was at Subway the other night. He was behind me. And I was like, I started thinking. Last time I was pulled over was 1997. Okay. I wonder he looking at that like, it's kind of like a waste of my time.
Yeah.
Let me just keep on driving.
You ran your plate.
Yep.
Anytime they get behind you, 99 out of 100 times, they are running your plate.
Yeah. And I was thinking, man, I've been pulled over. He probably going to ask me if he pulled me over. How you been pulled over? Been pulled over in so long.
Check your driving record.
Yeah, that's right.
Plates came back. Knew who the car was registered to. Ran the lien on the driver.
That's it.
All came back good, man.
Yeah.
But so, that's what they trained to do, is run those plates every opportunity you get.
Absolutely. Muskegon community, we're just trying to help you save a dollar and save a penny and be conscious of who you are, and because in the end, your checkbook shows your character. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.